So this meeting is now being recorded. Thank you for joining the Root Zone LGR study group meeting on 14th of May 2018. We have Dennis, Edmund, Mariana, and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad. Okay, so I want to point you everyone to the document that we are working on, the draft on Google Docs. Let me copy paste the URL for you, Edmund and Mirjana, to open it. So here, this is what we started about 4 weeks ago, starting to try to develop the scope, right? By means of stating different questions that we think might be useful for us to get around in terms of what we want out of the application, the use of the Rootson LGR. So I have a few comments from Desalen that I'm addressing. What I'd like you to do as well for next week is to review this and provide your comments offline or by email, whatever means you prefer. And what we are going to do is we're going to use this as the starting point. And this is not set in a stone. It's not 100% what we are going to focus on. So as we go along this process, we might find different other topics that we might deem relevant to the scope of this work. And so we will add those accordingly. But again, I want to repeat and focus, this is not 100% what we are going to focus only, and this is just a starting point for us to get working on the issues and doing recommendations. So with that said, any reactions to that? And I want to start with Mirjana and then AJ. Have you had a chance to review this document? If no, no worries. Try to do is the following, this following week, so that on Monday, next Monday, we can start really deep diving into these issues and trying to draft specific recommendations to these topics. Mirjana, any comments? AJ? And Edmund, of course.
This is Edmund jumping in.
Yes, Edmund, go ahead.
I guess that's great. I think it's a good starting point. As I mentioned earlier, we can generally stick to this, and if we really do think of something else, we'll add it to it. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem. The other thing is, if we have time today, let's jump right into the first few and get a sense of how the discussions will go, and we can report it back to the mailing list as well to drive more people to participate as well. So,
thank you, Edmund, for that suggestion. Yes, Mirjana.
Mirjana, I didn't read this document, so I cannot comment it just now, but I agree with that one. We could proceed. What he said, sorry, I have changed the time zone. I'm not just adjusted yet to the new time. Okay. Nothing special from me. I agree with the previous discussions.
Thank you, Mirjana. AJ, do you like to add anything?
No, I think let me read this document, and next week I should be able to add some value. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that said, and let's try to use this time to start going over the easy section, which is the use of Rootson LGR. This does not require previous knowledge. So let's start discussing this and taking notes. So so that we can share with the rest of the group. And with that, we'll start doing this work and setting out the recommendations. Okay? So I'm going to point you to section one, use of Rootsong LGR, question letter A. So how to use what it's already. I'm just backtracking because I'm reading this and I'm not sure whether someone has changed the order of these questions, but never mind. So the first one has how to use what is already part of the Rootsong LGR, what to do about information not in Rootsong LGR at this time. And how does this group define use of the Rootsong LGR? So this question came to my mind because just to use the definition so that the next group that is going to use this work, it's going to understand our rationale, our thought process, right? And when we define use of the Rootsong LGR, meaning I have a string of code points, I have a string, a label, right? And I input that into the tool, Rootsong LGR, and then I get an output, whether that label is valid, it's invalid, and whether it has Banyans and their disposition, allocatable, block, or allocated, etc. Right? So that's the definition of use. And I think we should write and make it that clear so that again, people that is going to use this word know exactly our thought process. Is there any reactions to that?
This is Sarmad. Can I come in?
Yes, Sarmad, please.
I see Edmund's hand up. Sorry, I'll just come in after him.
Okay. Edmund, please go ahead.
Okay. So I think the definition that you just gave is quite concise. I think we can start with that as an answer to A. But I think B, A and B, and probably we could lump it together because B is essentially part of your answer. In adding on a little bit is who uses it. I think, you know, probably here, I forgot whether there is more definition there, but we should also think about who is using it, who will be using it for as well. So that's just my addition.
Right, who are the users? Okay, yep. Let's see. And with that, I mean, maybe just answering this, or maybe I'm a little bit ahead, but you are thinking along not applicants, not only TLD applicants, but users in general, right? Anyone can use this. It's in, Edmund, is it in your thought process, these two groups, applicants and non-applicants, or do you have more granularity in the non-applicants group?
I do actually. I think Samad was running the queue as well, but I just add to that. Yes, ICANN staff, for example. I mean, I see them probably as a primary user to validate things and to provide input or kind of advice to various processes, including, of course, the TLD process, but also potentially this would be used to create kind of background advice to any type of disputes that might arise. So I guess it's being used, I would see, for the root zone LGR being used primarily by ICANN staff to do those things. I'm a bit unsure about the IANA side, maybe, including the WHOIS and stuff, IANA, WHOIS, or whatever you're going to call it in the future. But I think we have an item for that later on that might add back to this. So yes, I think the applicants are definitely, but non-applicants are generally not quite the user unless you are trying to trying to see, look into a particular dispute. But at that point, I think I go back to the primary user is probably ICANN staff trying to figure out how to deal with a particular application or a particular process, a part of the process.
Thank you, Edmond, for the clarification. Sarma, please go ahead.
So I just want to, I think, continue first on Edmund's statement, and then I'll come back to my comment. So one more user which I potentially see is actually application providers like browser, I guess manufacturers and so on, who could actually use it to discover variants of labels and, you know, things deriving from a whitelist or something like that. That's we really need to see how the use grows. I guess in the context of top level domains, I guess application process specifically, or general use of root zone LGR, I guess my first or initial comment was that I think one question which is clear, at least in the LGR procedure from my understanding, is that root zone LGR cannot be used partially. Either it is used or it is not used. And I think that probably needs to come out with some clarity, because when I'm reading the statement in A, which says how to use what is already part of LGR. So I think that may actually hint that there may be something which should be possible for things which are not part of LGR. And I think we need to probably have that discussion that, if something is not part of LGR, what does the root zone LGR procedure say about it? And can it actually be processed, for example? Thank you.
Yes, Arman. AJ, you have your hand up.
Yes. I think I have a few points to add here. One, I am want to add a twist to the Sarmat's comment about using root LGR fully or not fully. So I would like to put a case here. When you are creating a mailbox in your email server, you might like to use this LGR only for the variant purposes, but not blocking the label generation. And that may be useful to drive the variants out of this root LGR only. So that's one use case where I can use it partially, but not apply all the WLE rules. And there may be many cases like that. Secondly, by adding Edmund's view, I really like the idea of where it can be used. Maybe we would like to add a section here where not recommended for, where these rules may not be applicable, and explicitly you will not be able to use it fully, this entire WLE rules and variants. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ. I want to react on your first comment about, was it mailbox of email addresses? Was that what you're referring to? Okay, yes. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought I heard. So Mailbox, my first reaction is this is outside the scope of this study group. We are looking at ways how to use the RootsML ER for the validation of top-level domain names. And my understanding is that for Mailbox names, you can use pretty much anything, right? So and for example, apostrophes, points, parentheses, numbers. I mean, that's one thing. Numbers, it's not included in the RootsML ER. So I don't see how mailbox names would be a use case for the RootsML ER.
So I was, we are on the same page. Everybody understands exactly what you said. My idea was because you are going to ultimately validate an email address, and during that process, we are looking for many use cases where this and root zone document can be used, which includes the browsers. And so as wherever the TLD comes into that entire script, you might end up using that document there. There may be many, many cases which might come up.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you.
It's an interesting discussion. I think that is something that we need to document for sure. I'm going to add
Edmund
here.
Edmund wants to say something.
AJ? Or
Edmund wants to say something.
Edmund, please go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, you were going down that path already. As Samad suggested, I think this is probably a scope question. For now, I would think the key thing that we need to achieve is probably focus on the TLD application process and the TLD allocation process through to the IANA, actual delegation and those kind of things. So. Whereas I think it might be good to think about it, perhaps every time we bump into this, let's throw it into a kind of a different bucket and come back to it at the end. I'd like for Sama to come in on this as well, because I think we have a timeline that we want to meet. I think it might be useful for us to focus on the TLD application and delegation process, and then throw all these things into a separate bucket. We can deal with it when we have time, or after the first round of recommendations that I think we had a target timeline for. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Edmund, and I agree. I think due to the limited time that we have in order to complete this work, we have to be razor sharp and raise a focus on a specific scope items, and expanding this to other areas that would certainly be we will need more time to do it. So yes, AJ.
Yeah, actually you said that, so thank you.
All right. Thank you. We are on the same page then. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right. So let's move on to letter B. And this is one of the obvious questions, but again, I think we need to document those and explain why as to our rationale. Is it advisable to use RootsML ER to validate top-level domain names, applications, yes, no, and why? And I think we all agree that is yes, and we need to expand a little bit as to the why. And I will take a stab at it first, and of course, you will have a chance to chime in and finalize that. Any reactions to letter B? And this is an obvious yes, but we just need to elaborate it, and I will start the train, if you will, and then you will chime in.
This is Sarmad again for the queue. Sorry, I can't raise my hand.
Sure, Sarmad, go ahead.
I think we got into a slightly different direction. I raised another point, and I think this also comes back to that point about partial definition of root zone LGR. So I think we probably, unless it's covered later on, we want to come and address that, I guess, a bit more explicitly on whether it is possible to deal with validating things which are not in root zone LGR.
But thank you, Sarmad. So you're I guess we skip that. The first part of letter A, how to use what is already part of the root zone LGR. So I came up with this question and the supplementing comment, what's part of the root zone LGR? And what I noted was, well, we have four parts, is the repertoire, the variant code points, the whole level evaluation rules, and the disposition of variant labels. I think there is nothing else. And I don't think my intention was to suggest that you can use some of these parts and not others. I was trying to say, is this list complete? Is this all the parts of what comprises the root zone LGR?
Right. Can I add a bit to that?
I'm sorry?
May I come in?
Yes, sure.
Sure. So I think what I was referring to was something slightly different, which was that suppose we have languages ABC in the root zone LGR and language D is not in the LGR. Then if somebody applies for language D, what should happen? Sorry, scripts. Yep. Scripts ABC versus script D.
Yeah, I think that's, I think if my memory is correct, I think we have that question somewhere. Oh yeah, so J, that will be in letter J. The question is slightly in a different context, I guess, but yeah, we have to think about it. So the limited coverage that the root zone LGR offers today, how do we think about it, right? And I think I went back to check all the IDN applications in the 2012 round of the 100 plus applications, 86% of those strings are not covered in the current version of the LGR today, right? What if we have this same situation in the next round where we have an important percentage of applications that are not considered part of the LGR? And so how do we apply it, right? We need to think about that. Does that answer your question, Sarmad?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, there are probably two aspects to this. One is, from coverage point of view, but I think also we probably want to look at it from technical point of view about what does root zone LGR say about it, and then probably use that technical base to discuss the coverage. I'm not sure whether I made that clear. So just to add a bit more, I guess what I'm saying is that the assumption on, let's say, you know, whether we can put in, start use, when we can start using Root Zone LGR is fundamentally based on the fact that once Root Zone LGR is put into action, then anything which is not covered by Root Zone LGR cannot be processed. So that's sort of a baseline assumption, but it's still an assumption. And I think that's where I was hitting, that that's something we need to discuss and clarify and come out more clearly based on Root Zone LGR procedure, which is sort of an underlying assumption for this question, Jay, which you are, I guess, asking.
Yes, I agree, Sarah. Yeah, that's something definitely that we need to discuss. Edmund, please.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think I agree with I'm sure I agree with Samad, and we should definitely cover that. My first reaction to that is that as a general principle, if we are to be somewhat consistent with last round, we should allow the application of TLDs that are beyond the LGR. There are multiple reasons for that. And given the history so far, that at least the GTLD rounds are few and far in between. Hopefully in the future it's not the case, but still that is the case. So we shouldn't disallow the application. The question then becomes how it's processed. As Sama mentioned, we need those who are not already in the Root Zone LGR may not be processed yet. But therein lies a strange issue because, for example, if we, as I brought up the ASCII TLDs, let's say the Latin group hasn't completed its job, then doesn't mean that all English TLDs couldn't be processed either. And if we do process it, then we have another problem is without the variant allocation, we don't know what bumps into each other. Even then, I guess, you know, we will need to flag issues where somebody applies for out of the superset repertoire TLD, then what happens? Do we stop everyone, or do we use other types of principles to go forward with? I as a first reaction, I would say, you know, let everything in and process what we can process with an additional pointer to policy guys that says if there are disputes, if a non-included, if a TLD that's applied for, which is using script that is not included in the LGR, then there needs to be a special consideration for this disputes to bring up like a string similarity or kind of review objection process so that they could raise the issue in that way. That's what I have in mind as a quick reaction.
Thank you, Edmund. And I have AJ next.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. Edmund, I tend to bit of agree and wish to add a comment here. I think the entire premise of building LGR is to avoid future disputes and build more secure internet. And we would like to have a policy where we do not compromise on the resilience and security and stability of an internet, and which is very much in question if we allow everything to pass through. Similarity panel will come only for the purpose of similarity, but not for the purpose of any other disputes, or the entire purpose of LGR may be lost if we allow people to just pass through and LGR do not exist. So maybe we require a little bit of discussion around that, or maybe instead of blanketly allow everything. maybe some riders around here and there.
Sarmat for the queue, please.
Thank you.
Yes, Sarmat.
Right. So, you know, I think some of, obviously, this discussion certainly goes into policy realm. You know, I think looking, even though we are very used to looking at root zone as multiple scripts, where you have Chinese root zone LGR and part of root zone LGR and Latin and, you know, Arabic and so on. But actually, the way it is envisioned is that eventually there is only a single IDN table or root zone LGR basically for the root zone. And so if you look at it from that perspective, a character which is not in the repertoire of a script which is supported and already included, and a character in a script which is not even supported by root zone LGR, both of those cases are examples of something which is out of repertoire, and therefore will be, once root zone LGR is implemented, that particular label which has a character for whatever reason which is not part of the repertoire, that label is going to be rejected. It actually, the root zone calculation is going to come out as invalid. How do we, you know, how can we decide that some of the invalid labels are actually invalid and some of the invalid labels are actually not invalid and should be reserved based on root zone LGR calculation itself? That's actually not a very easy thing to do unless we actually, quote unquote, break the root zone LGR. So this is going back to Edmund's point that for scripts which are not supported, we could actually still accept those applications and put them in reserve. But see, if those applications come through the root zone LGR, they would actually, that label will be tagged as invalid through the root zone LGR calculation. So if we make it reserved, then we actually are making a policy which is undoing the root zone calculation, and that's something which actually the root zone LGR procedure may not allow. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Indeed, a very interesting point. Yeah. And before I forget, Sarma, is there a, because I see the chat room also active and very valuable input that we'll like to save. Is there a functionality for you to save the chat and provide a copy?
Sure, I'll copy the chat and email it to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's keep going. We jump a bit on that topic, but it was worth it. So let's go back to now letter C. And these, so C through F, those were additions from Desalin. I want to skip. Maybe I should not skip those. Let's just have the benefit of us here and discuss real quick. I mean, letter C is a domain name, and I'm assuming Desalin really meant top level domain name, right? We're not talking about second level domain names or anything else, but just top level domain names. With a single character label allow. And I think we can bundle these C and D together. Is a top level domain name with two letters labeled allow barring CCTLDs. Any reactions to these questions? And I want you to think about it from a technical standpoint and not policy.
Sarmat for the queue, please.
Okay, Sarmat, go ahead.
So from what I understand, the limitation is only for single character. and two characters, I think, is I don't recall at least that there was any bar on applying for two characters for GTLDs. I'm not actually sure about Latin script in particular. But in any case, I think from what I understand, there are probably TLDs which are GTLDs, which are two characters. I can go back and check. For a single character, SAC actually has some recommendations in SAC 52. I shared the link in chat earlier. And I can actually, maybe all of you could probably go and look at that. I can also summarize if you'd like their recommendation, but let me know if you would want me to do that or not. But there is actually a recommendation from SAC on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. Yeah, I think I'm with you and that policy already establishes a limitation on single character top level domain names. And as far as two letter labels, there were no restrictions in the 2012 round as far as non-Latin IDNs. I don't know whether Latin IDNs would be barred from being two characters because of the high chance of being confused with a CCTLD, but that's up for, I guess, discussion. But from a technical standpoint, I mean, the use of roots on LDR, I don't think from a technical standpoint that would be within a scope, and I'm tend that to see as a more policy. Any other reactions there? No?
This is Sarmat. Are you Sarmat. Saying policy for two characters or policy for single character as well?
Well, we already have the policy for single characters, so that's an easy answer, I guess. And for the two characters, I'm not sure. I will need to go ahead and read the CCNSO and GNSO policies on top-level domain names.
Okay, just a quick reaction to that. I think Edmund also has his hand up, but I think for a WT4 for the subsequent round, which is the next GTLD round, which is being planned. Their current recommendations, I think, are currently considering single character TLDs. So it may actually not be irrelevant going further to discuss whether there should be any technical limitations on single character. Thank you.
Sarmat. Edmund, you have.
Yeah, so I think single character is an interesting point. In fact, in the previous GNSO our policy recommendation, single character IDN TLDs was accepted. It was ruled out based on the SAC report that Samad pointed us to. The thing about the SAC document, however, does require ICANN to review that SAC document and give a response to it. And I guess my question here is whether this is the right group to do that. If so, then yes, let's take it on and think about answering some of the key questions. There isn't a lot of those. Maybe we should answer some of them so that the policy work can focus on that for the coming round. So that's sort of my quick response to that. The two character issue, I think, Mirana, you mentioned. I think it's that's right. The ASCII ones we probably don't have to talk about at all. I think for the two letters one, I agree with Dennis that also we don't really need to talk about in terms of IDN. That's allowed, especially because IDN CCTLDs are allowed to have more than two characters at this point, and that was if you will, the give and take. So I think we can leave that out of our discussion. But going back to single character, the question, I guess, goes to Samad, really, whether we should actually respond to the ESSAC report.
Just to come back quickly to Edmund's comment. So from what I recall from ESSAC report was that in limited cases like Han, it may actually be possible where single character actually is a meaningful word in some cases. But I think what ESSAC cautioned was that the current list needs to be reviewed in such cases like Han, and a subset of list needs to be separately prepared, which should be reviewed in the context of only single character IDNs. I think one mechanism if we take that up as part of the scope and we want to talk about single character labels for limited scripts, I guess there are a couple of things we could do. One, obviously, we need to maybe list the scripts or script for which this should be possible. Try to endorse or add to what ESSAC has suggested as a solution. I think what that would do is that, we can, in a way, give more implementation kind of details to an advisory which ESSAC has already suggested. We could actually, based on ESSAC recommendation, also suggest, so in any case, I think going back to ESSAC, they have an advisory. It may actually be good to look at it and see if we can add more implementation details to that advisory in case we are okay with the ESSAC's conservative opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarman. Edmund?
Thank you so much for the clarification. In that case, in response specifically to that, my first reaction is let's take a look at the ESSAC document. My initial inclination would be to confirm basically confirm their observation or just agree with their observation about the Han script and just agree with it in that sense. I would think maybe coming up with a list is a bit problematic here, although I'm open to whether we could make that discussion. My initial reaction would be, let's then in that case then confirm our acceptance of the ESSAC suggestion, and we need to kick this back to either the CGP in that, CJK generation panel to either come up with this or kick this to the policy side. If we don't limit it to what ESSAC has suggested, then we might have to make the decision in terms of the list of the scripts somewhere else, unless people are confident enough for us to make that decision here. So that's my initial kind of thinking. More likely we should just confirm what ESSAC has said, and so that the ICANN community can take action on identifying the list. And neither do I think this is the group to actually make that definition in terms of creating that list. The most likely ones would be the Chinese, Japanese, and Korean Han script related GPs to weigh in on it. But I'm open to whether that makes sense.
Thank you, Edmund. All right, I'm checking the clock. 2 minutes to the top of the hour. I think this is a good time to stop and just thank you everyone for attending. So next steps for next week, I'm going to capture what we have discussed into these corresponding items. So we have more meat on the each of the topics, if you will. And then I will welcome you to come back to this document in a few days, later this week, so you can chime in and comment. I will send an email to the draft, to the mailing list, so that you are aware I have made the edits. So I will welcome your comments as well. Okay, and we'll meet again next Monday, same time, same channel. Thank you, and Sarma, we can end the recording.
Okay, thank you all for joining. So we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.